Hey, good morning, everyone. This is actually not for everyone. This is just for the people who I've asked to review the reviewer's guide for 1999.io. I'm doing this by voice because it would be confusing if I did it in writing, because I think that there's a basic sort of disconnect in terms of what a reviewer's guide is and what I'm showing you. First of all, it's not everything that is ever going to be written about 1999.io for marketing purposes. The reviewer's guide is very much for marketing purposes, but in the old days, it got its name from the fact that there used to be publications like InfoWorld and PC Week and PC Magazine and Mac User and MacWorld, and they had reviewers that reviewed software the same way, movies are reviewed, or cars, more like the way a car is reviewed. So they take it out for a test drive, and they're also familiar with the category, so they know about the other software that's out there. There was a point where it was such a developed thing that they actually had checklists of features for each category, which was fantastic. It made it doing prior art research a lot easier for software developers. So what would happen then as part of this process? A software developer would create a reviewer's guide, which was usually a very nicely printed 10 or 15 page thing. It was printed out, actually, and it had images on it and very quick bullet point things, statements that helped the reviewers find what was new and interesting about the software. So it'd be sort of like, let's say you were opening up a tourist spot, and you wanted to tell the travel reviewer when he comes for the visit that these are the things you ought to look at because this is, what makes this place interesting. And it has to be presented in a sort of professional to professional way, because we're saying basically we appreciate software too, and you love software, we love software. So I'm not going to hype you. I'm not going to I am going to focus you on what's important and what was important to me as I designed it and what's important to users. And that's why it's important to ask for user input on the reviewer's guide, because you sort of want to do a reality check. I mean, these are the things that I find as the guy who developed it and also a user. I mean, I'm a user of the product. I mean, my blog, Scripting News, is what I used to write it. So, in fact, some of the features in there are pretty much there only because of that, because no other blogger, does the images the way that I do it, for example. So the set image command in the pop-up menu is pretty unique to 1999.io. And for that reason, I've thought about taking it out because it confuses a lot of people. But and maybe I should mention that in the reviewer's guide, because that would be a perfect example. It's like, were you wondering why this command was there? Well, here's an interesting little fact. It's a PR function, basically. So we don't have reviewers anymore, unfortunately. It would be great if we did, and we will at some point again. But it doesn't mean it's not a good idea to write the reviewer's guide, because it turns out that we use the reviewer's guides for more than just informing reviewers. We used it for our salespeople so that they would know when they're going out to rep the product, either at a trade show or with a distributor or whatnot, that these are the main features of the product. These are the things that they can confidently sell the product based on, because we've done our homework and we've looked at the competition. And so if you're meeting with a distributor or at a user conference or something, you can show them how this where that works and know that you'll impress some people, because they've probably been waiting for these features in the other products that they in our competitive products. It's also good for PR purposes when I'm talking to a reporter and they want to know, like, okay, what's the big deal about this product? You get asked this question, you know, and you don't want to make up the answer on the fly. You have to have that answer ready. And so the whole process of writing the reviewer's guide is to focus the mind on these questions and to get it down to bullet point lists. And by the time, you know, this process is over, the product is perfectly understood by the people who need to understand it. And so it's playing a dual purpose here, because I chose the people to review the reviewers list because, well, first of all, I know you guys have looked at the product and you use the product to varying degrees and you have different perspectives on it. There are developers here, there are academics, there's a PR person who I've asked to look at this. These are all people who use the product, and so I want to know, how does this match up? Did I leave anything out? Maybe also in the process, you'll discover something about the product that you didn't know before. That's not a bad outcome either, because that's also part of the purpose of the reviewer's guide, is to, you give it to the users, right? You say, hey, look, you're a reviewer. You have to make up your own mind. Just because you don't have InfoWorld around anymore to tell you whether you should like the software, you're still going to have to figure it out whether or not you want to use this stuff. And so here's a sort of an outline for how you might approach that. The sort of what it is and how it's going to change your life and all the rest of that stuff, you know, that may come later, but frankly, I don't even have an outlet for that stuff anymore. And we used to do that. That was called advertising. And we would spend actually more money on the advertising for a product than we spent developing it. Believe it or not, that's how important advertising was. And, you know, there were times when I hired ad agencies to write the ads, and then there were times when I wrote the ads myself. Who knows which worked better? It's like very hard to tell. But I do know this, that if we had not advertised, there never would have been any sales for the product, because it was a totally advertising-driven industry at that point. Today, I don't know what it's driven by, and as evidenced by my lack of penetration of my products, I'm still trying to figure it out. So right now, what I do is I just try to do the best that I can and create products that I think are usable and useful and interesting, and move the market forward in some useful way, and then I'm changing up the way I've done it with previous products like Fargo. I'm putting more time into it. There's a lot of, I'm learning a lot, and maybe one of these times what'll happen is something will take off. I'm hoping it's 1999.io. Because it's a fine product, it is unique in the market, and the market desperately needs some new stuff, a kick in the ass, some new life. I see it everywhere I look, that blogging is not keeping up. And you find so much more interesting stuff on Facebook than you do in the blogs, but yet we all know that there's not very much nutritional value in Facebook. So anyway, I know I'm wandering off a little bit here. So that's the purpose of a reviewer's guide. And I can tell right now that I'm going to turn this into a podcast, because I think it is actually interesting enough for other people to look at it. And it also might make a really good way to introduce people to the reviewer's guide. I swear to God, I wasn't thinking about that at the outside. But I think that I made some good points here that I think need to be made more broadly. So anyway, thank you all for very much for participating in this process. I think it will all learn a lot, and the product will be better as a result. So thanks very much. Stick with it, and talk to you later. Bye-bye.